Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
And good evening, Saturday night. Thanks for joining me here, Contra Radio Network, tonight. Saw this article, I thought it was really interesting, so I wanted to share it with you. Because whether we realize it or not, we've been watching these people for many years. I'm talking about the homeless. And here are 10 survival tricks that are learned from homeless people. Now, I know what you're thinking. What can they teach us? Well, actually, they can teach us quite a bit. So, and if you were sat down to even think about how they live, how they survive, well, we got this one from primalsurvivor.net. And before I get started, I have to sit here and I have to apologize to you because I was unable to confirm the guest for tonight's show from Todd over at Top Notch Instruction is going to have some people, a couple women who are going to talk about prepping from a woman's perspective, and is unable to get a hold of him to confirm whether this is going to happen or not. So if by some chance he does call in, we'll stop what we're doing and we'll do that show. But I said, I called him and I was unable to get a hold of him. All right. I see Night Rebel 556 is logged in the chat room. If you want to participate, you may. Please do. Appreciate it if you would. You can get in the chat room. You can hit the Skype button on the blogtalkradio.com/Contra Radio page. Hit that. It'll come right to the switchboard. Or you can call in. 516-453-9389. 516-453-9389. So let's talk about the 10 survival tricks learned from homeless people. Do you remember that movie from 2004 called The Day After Tomorrow? It is the end of the world scenario, and a group of people find themselves trapped in a library right as a storm plunges the world into a new ice age. Well, how'd they stay warm through the blizzard and freezing cold? Well, luckily for the group, one of them was a homeless man. And homeless people have all sorts of tricks about how to stay warm in the cold. He told them to stuff their jackets with wadded up paper. The extra layer of insulation saved their lives. Now, while we might dismiss them and put them at the fringes of society, there is actually a lot we can learn from the survival from homeless people, after all. Who would you trust more with survival tricks? Someone who just fantasizes about disasters or people who live through disaster-like situations every day? So here are some of the survival tricks that homeless people use that could one day save your life. Control your desperation. A guy who goes by a Frosty Please had a great blog called Guide to Homelessness. This is where I read some of the best survival advice I've ever heard. And it is about controlling desperation in bad situations. So here's what he had to say. This is important. Where will you sleep tonight? What will you do tomorrow? Don't focus on what you can't do or haven't got. You have a lot of resources if only you will recognize them. I'll say it again. You have a lot of resources if only you will recognize them. So try to identify your most pressing problems individually and find a straight line to a solution. You need a warm place out of the rain? How about a hotel lobby or a hospital waiting room or a laundromat or a bus station or a fast food restaurant? You need to clean up? That's easy. You need some food? You can fill your belly on less than a dollar's worth of rice. My point is, to begin surviving, you need to change your head. Abandon anger desperation, depression, melancholy. Embrace confidence, strength, abilities, resources. Be positive by all means. Number two, if you fight, you get hurt. Anyone who has ever studied martial arts will tell you that it isn't about fighting or even self-defense. Martial arts teaches you not to fight. The best way to win a fight is not to get into one in the first place. This is something that homeless people have learned well. They know that engaging or responding to hostility isn't going to help them achieve their goal. And the goal is what? Survival. Yes, it can shatter your ego when someone is hostile. It can seem weak to back down when someone comes at you. But if you fight when you don't have to, then you are putting your survival at risk. Will fighting serve your ultimate goal? Unless you are trying to prove yourself as some alpha male, I highly doubt it. And that brings us back to ego being the main reason for fighting. That doesn't mean you shouldn't ever fight. If someone is attacking you, fight until you can flee. Blend in. You know how we are always being criticized for not noticing homeless people and how they are called things like America's quote-unquote invisible population. Part of the reason for this is because homeless people don't want to be noticed. When you are noticed, you could become a target for predators like thieves. When you are noticed, you might be kicked out of your location. When you are noticed, hostile people might come at you. Keep this in mind when you are fleeing in a survival situation. For example, the grid goes out. You have a generator, turn it on. Now your home is the only one on the block with lights glowing out of the window. You know what? Let's take a side note. You ever see the movie The Omega Man? The original Omega Man with Charlton Heston. I think it was 1973, I think the movie came out in. And he's got all the mutants running around. But he knows that, you know, he's the last guy in, Los Angeles. He was in Los Angeles. He flips the lights on at night to keep the mutants away from his house. His is the only house lit up in the entire city, and it's got the spotlights, you know, it's got everything lit up like it's, you know, 12 noon. That's what your house is going to look like. Just thought I'd bring, and I read it, I said, hey, you know what? I remember seeing something like that, but I wanted to share it with you, okay? So, guess where all the scared masses will come running to? That's right, they're going to come to your house because you got the lights on. You'd be better leaving the lights out rather than drawing attention to yourself. How about clothing? Clothing has many uses, like as a rope, bandages, napkins, shelter, collecting water. Choose your clothing wisely. Everything must have a purpose. So dress in layers, you can easily adjust to changes in weather. A big, bulky winter jacket isn't going to help you, especially once you start sweating and then freeze, and then you know, you freeze from being wet. You'll be better off with multiple light jackets you can add or remove as necessary. They will dry faster, too. Again, remember, you've got to blend in. You might have some great survival clothing, but don't wear it if it's going to make you stand out from the crowd. How about staying warm? Staying warm is very important for survival because so much of our energy goes to heat in our body. More specifically, about 50 to 80%, that's 50 to 80% of your calories go to maintaining body temperature. If you get cold, then you are going to need more food, and that means using up your precious stockpiles. In wilderness survival situations, you can make one of those you can make one of these survival shelters to help you stay warm. You can also use homeless tricks like, you know, putting cardboard under you to create a layer of insulation between you and the cold ground. Side note, always keep something between you and the ground. The ground will suck up your body heat like nothing, like you've never seen. Put something between you and the cold ground. Always. And, Back to it. Let's get a Mylar blanket. Put it between two blankets and it will help the blankets hold in much more heat. Wrap the blankets around you. Fingers and toes will get frostbitten quickly, so you have to buy some hand warmers from the camping store or pour boiling water into water bottles. Wrap the water bottles in a towel because it will leak and use these to warm your hands. Staying clean. Staying clean is much more important than you realize because in survival situations, cleanliness can quickly go out the window. But cleanliness is important for survival. Side note, ever watch The Walking Dead? Huh? Notice how none of the main characters seem to have any dental problems? Their teeth are gleaming white. They've been on the run now for, what, 5 years? 4 or 5 years? Yet somehow, dental hygiene is not an issue. I'm just pointing it out, guys. Cleanliness is important for survival. What if you get a cut on your dirty leg? It will get infected, and then you've got a serious problem. What if you get a rash or blisters from all that dirt rubbing on you? Good luck walking far. What if you get sick from eating from dirt with dirty hands? There goes your chances of survival. We notice the dirty, downtrodden, homeless people, but most are actually quite clean looking. This is because they use all sorts of tricks. Yes, they really have mastered the art of taking a shower with a water bottle. One cool hygiene trick used by homeless people is wet wipes. Just rub yourself down with a wet wipe and you're as good as new. The ones with lotion on them will take off dirt really well. You can also make your own wipes. So get a bottle and mix the following together. Here's your recipe. Get your pencils and papers ready. To make your own wet wipes, 2 tablespoons of baby oil, 2 tablespoons of body lotion, 2 tablespoons of shampoo, 1 cup of water. Put a bit of this mixture on a napkin and use a napkin to clean yourself. It will take off all of the grime and smell. And another hygiene tip, use sunscreen. If you get burned, the burn can quickly turn into a sore and get infected. Here's something. How about you need a companion? You ever wonder why so many homeless people have dogs and will even buy dog food for the animals, even though they can barely feed themselves? It is because you need a companion to survive. If you don't have a trusted human companion, then a canine one will do the trick. The companions serve multiple purposes. They help protect you, safety in numbers. They keep you company so you don't get overwhelmed by desperation. They help you keep warm by sleeping next to you on cold nights. They can serve as lookouts and so much more. Stay where you know. Why don't some homeless people ever venture into subway tunnels, whereas other homeless people stay solely in the tunnels? It is because of the advice, stay where you know. If you don't know what is lurking somewhere, avoid it. It is much safer to stick with familiar terrain. This is particularly good advice for all those preppers who plan on bugging out into the wilderness somewhere when the crap hits the fan. Hey, I am all for bugging out in the wilderness, but only if you've taken time to scout out the terrain first. Otherwise, you're probably much better off just hunkering down in the familiar location of your home and neighborhood. Here's something that's tactical, and I don't mean that in a facetious way. Never take your pack off. Your survival pack is your life. I'm going to say it again. It's that important. Your survival pack is your life. Sleep with it strapped to you so no one can steal it. Or use it as a pillow, but keep your arms hooked around it. Quick note, personal note, true story. When you are in the military and you are out in the field doing whatever, you have your rifle with you. Your rifle has a sling. You have to go to sleep. Do not ever leave your rifle what they call unsecured. That is, take your arm, slide it through the strap or the sling of the rifle. You'd be surprised. You won't know that. You won't notice that much, but you'll have your rifle right there. You'll have your pack right there, so if anybody tries to take it, you'll know it. Now, not only will this help prevent theft, but it goes along with the next survival trick. If you're not sure what to pack, all right, there's like 11 things you need in your survival pack, and you know what? I don't like looking at the I like looking at them to get some ideas, but you should know pretty much what you're going to need. If you're not sure, look it up. Get some ideas so you know where people are going. Night Rebel 556 in the chat room says, know your go-to location and have a cache set in this area. All right, the last one, number 10. Always be ready to leave. You never know what to expect in survival situations. You have to be ready to flee at a moment's notice. So, even if you found the best bug-out location and set up camp, don't get too attached. Your disaster plan should always include a contingency in case you've got to go, and fast. I thought those were pretty interesting items, pretty interesting tips, something to look at, to think about. What do you think? Well, that's why we're here. For our next story, where did we get this one from? Oh, shoot. Where did we find this one? Offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com. The NSA chief warns, start preparing for blackouts, downed grid. Yes, yes, yes. The possibility of a cyber attack on critical infrastructure, which, by the way, if you have not been paying attention, Iran has been hacking into a dam in New York State. Got into there, electrical power, got in there. Now, you know what they're thinking. Open those floodgates and let's see what happens. Yeah. So don't think that it's really secure. It's not. But you already know that. You're smart people. You listen to Contra Radio Network. You know nothing's really 100% secure ever. So the possibility of a cyber attack on critical infrastructure such as America's electrical power worries National Security Agency Director Admiral Michael Rogers, who told a cybersecurity conference that it's a, quote, matter of when, not if, end quote, hackers successfully attack America's power grid. Well, we know that. That's why, you know, when you hear about countries like China and Russia and everybody's trying to hack into our power grid, shouldn't we be unleashing our hackers on theirs? I'm just saying. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, is it not? Not it is. Let's go after them. So the U.S. will eventually suffer a cyber assault like the one that knocked out power in the Ukraine, Rogers told an audience at the RSA conference in San Francisco in early March. During that attack, hackers used the Black Energy cyber weapon to literally turn the lights out on more than 200,000 people across the region. 7 weeks ago, it was the Ukraine, Rogers said. That isn't the last we're going to see of this, and that's what worries me. Mm-hmm. An attack on the power grid is not the only cybercrime that keeps Rogers from sleeping. He is also afraid of attacks that could cripple the nation's financial institutions. Think about that, boys and girls. So what are you going to do as society when you go to your bank account and the numbers don't match what you think they should be? Rogers asked, according to FedScoop.com. What do you do if your business does financial transactions and they don't reflect what you are seeing? The threat, Rogers added, is significant enough that private industry and the government, two sides that normally don't cooperate, should work together to address vulnerabilities. I believe the power of industry and what we have seen in the Valley over the last decade, he said. We're spending a lot of time talking to each other about what we can't do. In many ways, we're just talking past each other. Such an agreement is fundamental to the very construct of our nation, he added. These issues are so fundamental and so important to us as a nation that I believe our citizens need leaders to say, this is acceptable to us and this is not, Rogers said, according to FedScoop.com. There is no solution without risk. I acknowledge that. It's about how we try to minimize that risk and be upfront with each other. Famed TV newsman Ted Koppel argues in his new book, Lights Out, that a cyber attack would leave the power grid down not for days, but for weeks and months, resulting in millions of people dying due to mass starvation. Now, we're going to talk about Ted Koppel's book. And it's called Lights Out. They say there's 80% chance of a cyber attack and mass starvation in the United States. That's what Koppel's asserting in his new book, Lights Out. Now, the American electrical power grid is highly vulnerable to a devastating cyber attack, and the United States government has no plan for dealing with such a catastrophe. Famed TV newsman Ted Koppel says, Koppel thinks the danger of such an attack is so great that he has written a book about it called Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. Koppel is best known for serving as anchor of the ABC program Nightline from 1980 to 2005. What we have never heard, some of these sentences aren't even constructed right. What we have never heard is a cyber attack that amounts to a weapon of mass destruction, Koppel told PBS's NewsHour. And my point is that if someone succeeds in taking down one of our power grids, and the Russians and Chinese can do it, maybe the Iranians and the North Koreans, it would be devastating. Experts, let me ask you something before I continue. If a country, a sovereign nation, takes down our electrical grid, that, in my opinion, has been used as a weapon of mass destruction, which would require, in my opinion, a retaliatory response in kind. So, experts interviewed by Koppel believe it is not a matter of if, but when. The grid would not be down days, but weeks or months, Koppel says. Koppel started researching cyber attacks in the power grid in 2013 after President Obama mentioned such a scenario in the State of the Union address. After intensive research that involved discussions with our former Secretaries of Homeland Security and four former Secretaries of Defense, Koppel concluded that such an attack is likely, and the U.S. government is completely unprepared for such a cataclysm. Some of Koppel's disturbing revelations include, many of our nation's leaders believe that such an attack is inevitable. When I spoke to Janet Napolitano just after she left as Secretary of Homeland Security, she had been on the job for 5 years. I said to her, what do you think the chances are of a cyber attack on the power grid? She said, very, very high, 80 to 90%, Koppel told PBS. Koppel said the current Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, admitted to him that there is no federal strategy for dealing with a cyber attack on the grid. I'm going to let that sink in there for just think about what he said. There is no federal strategy for dealing with a cyber attack on the grid. What in the hell are you talking about? Tell me that you're doing something, anything to stop it. Tell me you're going to harden something, harden whatever you got to do. To sit there and admit, well, we don't have any strategy for dealing with it. So what are you doing? Just going to let it happen? Hey, you know, hey, I see the wall we're speeding to, but I have no strategy for dealing with this. We're just going to keep going. Oh, yeah, I see the cliff. Yeah, I see we're going to go over the cliff, but I'm sorry, you don't have a strategy for dealing with it. What in the hell are they talking about? That's why we have preppers. That's why we prep, because these clowns don't have a plan. We do. Our plan is we're not going to end up like them. Such an attack could lead to mass starvation. Could, it will. Koppel says that all Americans should follow the lead of the Mormons and prepare for the worst. Right, Mitch? And so the one thing that the Mormons do that I would recommend to Americans in general to do is to have a 3 to 6 month supply of food and water, Koppel told IFIL. A cyber attack that can take down the grid can be carried out by almost anybody, including terrorists, criminals, or even an individual madman. And the dangerous thing is, it doesn't require a government to do it, Koppel said. It doesn't require anyone with a ton of money to do it. Someone sufficiently skilled in cyber warfare using an individual laptop can inflict enormous damage. Someone sufficiently skilled in cyber warfare. He added, I've been told by the man who was the former chief of scientists for the NSA, the National Security Agency, that he now believes that there are individual groups, and possibly a group like who? ISIS, for example, which has kept about $2 billion that they could buy the expertise and the equipment they need is available off the shelf. That's a pretty scary prospect, folks. So many of the nation's power companies are completely unprepared for the attack on the grid. Yes, they're completely unprepared for the attack on the grid because it would require them to shell out money to update the grid, the infrastructure, and they're more interested in collecting and threatening to shut you off from your electrical power because you owe them $88.37. Well, I'll tell you what, ComEd. When the grid is shut down, I can guarantee you I'm not paying any more for my electrical bill. You want me to keep paying my electrical bill? I will. But you have to make sure that grid is protected and ready and can withstand an attack. Think about it. There's a little or nothing the federal government can do to make them prepared because of deregulation, Koppel told Salon. He thinks that Congress is unwilling to change the law to address the situation. The smaller companies simply don't have the resources to engage in that kind of defensive behavior, Koppel said. Where the problem arises is a really skilled hacker could hack into one of the smaller ones or several of the smaller ones. For example, Texas has a regional power grid. Some foreign governments already have hacked into the U.S. power grid. It's incredibly complex. But there's no question that the Chinese have successfully hacked into at least one of our power grids to one of our presidential candidates' private servers. I'm adding that emphasis. The Russians have done so also. The Iranians, the North Koreans, and possibly individual hackers are on the verge of being able to do so if they haven't done it already. Koppel thinks the biggest danger comes from North Korea. The Russians, Iranians, and Chinese would be afraid to hack the U.S. grid because America could retaliate by taking down their grids and shutting down their economies. Since the North Koreans do not have modern economy or technology, it would be hard to retaliate against them. Well, not really. I'm sure we could probably reprogram some Minuteman threes in about, 15, 20, 30 minutes maybe? Just got to, reload the data dump for a geographical target. Just saying. What do you think about that? Look, I'm not a big Ted Koppel fan. If he is so disturbed by what he has heard, and he takes the time to write a book to warn us about it, would it not behoove us to at least listen to it? As preppers who have been doing this for a while, we have that food supply stored up. If you are starting out as a new prepper, don't panic. If you're hearing my voice, that means electricity is still on. Start stockpiling food and water. And make sure you have water storage containers that are meant for long-term storage. I'm not talking about going out and get a case of bottled water. That plastic will leach chemicals into the water, and you don't need that kind of a problem. Therefore, it would behoove one to go and either buy a case of what they call 30-year water. That's water that's put in specially stored cans that is, can be safely stored up to 30 years. It's out there. It's relatively cheap. It's like maybe $20 for a case. Okay. How about 5 tips to help you can food safely? This is from UrbanSurvivalSite.com. Canning, because Kenny won't call me and get this show going, because we really need that episode. Canning is an efficient method of home food preservation. Jars are easy to store in the food provided it doesn't freeze, stays good for a long, long time. Most foods will be cycled through every 3 years or so as you preserve each season's harvest and use up what's left over from the previous season. If you're new to canning and interested in trying out, here are 5 tips to get you started. 1, use the correct canning method for what you are processing. There are 2 types of canning methods. Water bath canning and pressure canning. Water bath canning is suitable for high sugar and high acid foods. So jams, jellies, pickles, fruit juices, pure tomatoes should all be processed with a hot water bath. Anything with a lower acidity or sugar level should be pressure canned. So tomato sauce with peppers or onions added should be pressure canned with the pressure and time for the lowest acidity foods. Meat, stock, fish, and broth should all be pressure canned as well. Pressure canning will cook the food, kill off the bacteria, and create a secure seal. Anything containing or based from meat should only be pressure canned and never water bath canned. 2, check your jars, lids, and rings. Canning jar sources are varied. You can get them new from the store or secondhand from friends or garage and yard sales. No matter your source, all jars should be thoroughly washed with soap and water and inspected for chips, cracks, and weaknesses before being used. Weakness in a jar, particularly with pressure canning, can cause the jar to shatter during canning. While a shattered jar will not normally damage any of the other jars, the presence of shattered glass could introduce food particles under the rim of the other jars and prevent a firm seal. If you're using metal lids, always start with fresh canning lids that have never been used. Old lids can be used for fridge and short-term storage, but the rubber is weakened in the canning and sealing process. Old lids will not guarantee a safe and secure seal. If you haven't eaten all of your canned food, you should inventory at least once per year and make sure no seals have been broken and that all the jars look fresh. Sometimes mold or bacteria colonies can form even when the seal hasn't broken. Usually, such contamination is quite obvious. For example, white globular floating growths. Now, note, some discoloration is normal, particularly with things like applesauce, where the tops of the jar will darken over time. Discoloration is usual with fruits and sometimes with lighter colored canned beans, like Great Northern beans. 3, get the right size jar for your purpose and family size. How many people are you canning for? How many servings are needed in a jar? Quart canning is easier and more efficient for large batches. But if you're only serving 2 or 3 people, a pint jar might be a better idea for some items. So in a family of 3, a quart-sized jar of canned sliced peaches will have 1 or 2 servings left over, which may or may not get used before they go bad. A pint-sized jar gives 3 slightly smaller servings with no leftovers and no worrying about whether or not the jar will go bad. Same thing with applesauce, pears, and salsa. You should try to can in sizes that will be used within a week. Veggies often work best in pint-sized canning as well. Green beans and beets are 2 common canning vegetables. Pickles and sauerkraut can also be canned depending on how they are prepared. Now, such things as tomato sauce, canned whole tomatoes, and other items that you would use in bulk are best canned in quart sizes. Jams and jellies should be canned either in pints or half pints, depending on how swiftly you use them up. Soups and stocks work best in quart sizes, while fish can be canned in half pints, pints, or specially designed fish canning jars. Number four, start small and easy. It is easy to think that you should start canning all at once, but the summer season is long, and getting burned out trying to can the entire first crop of cherries is not sustainable in the long run. If you're used to drying your fruit, just try one batch of whole or sliced canned fruit and see if you even like the taste and texture. If you don't like the texture of canned peaches, you will not eat them, even if you can eat them. So do something that you will enjoy, okay? Basically saying this, try it before you do the whole damn crop. Try it before you decide to go out and spend $70 on vegetables and you're growing them or whatever the case is, all right? If you don't like the way it looks, you don't like the way it tastes, you don't like the way it feels in your mouth, don't do it because you're not going to eat it anyways. Just put it back on the shelf, and after you've starved to death, the rest of us who don't mind it will come and eat it for you. Well, I'm just saying. Jams and fruit preserves are often the easiest way to start canning, especially since they can be water bath canned. If and when you want to preserve canning, or you want to try pressure canning, try it something easy first. Green beans are broken into 1-inch lengths and packed with water in a pint jar are an easy canning day, especially if you have a good crop of green beans. You can also try canned dried beans if you want to be able to make quick meals. Pre-soak and rinse the beans. Then pack them into pint jars with water and start canning. When you want to use them, simply open a jar, rinse the beans, then use them in whatever recipe you want. Number five, stay organized and label. This is important because as the older we get, the quicker our memories start to go, right? So label everything as you go. Both the day you can and the day you put your hard-won canned food away, it is important to stay organized. Record how many jars you made and label the jars with the year and the product. Even if it's just a TS for tomato sauce or SRJ for strawberry rhubarb jam, when you date label and know how many jars you made, then the next year it'll be easy to see what canned foods you ate the most of. This way you'll know which ones you need to make more of and which you just need to use up. Sounds easy, right? My guess is this, and I've watched my wife can like a million tomatoes in one weekend. And it's this. But, well, you know, it also took a long weekend because she also made her own tomato juice and canned that too. And it was quite delicious, by the way, especially at the end of December and January, and you got fresh tomato juice. I was like, nothing like it. What I want to tell you is this. You can go out. We get our canning stuff from Menards. I'd be willing to bet maybe Blair's. I'm sure they have it. You can get this stuff for canning is relatively cheap. It really is. I think your initial outlay, you got to get, if you're going to be doing the high pressure canning, you got to go get the right kind of pot for it. And it comes with little special tongs so you don't burn your little fingers when you reach in to pull the jar out. You've got some tools for that. But I'd be willing to bet, I know if you could, maybe $40 on the outlay, maybe. And you got the tools from now on. The only thing you have to really replace is, jars you can rewash. Then you just got to buy new lids and rings. Ta-da, done. And for some of you who are, canning enthusiasts, they have different color. Different color lids and rings. That's right. Different colors now. Coming multicolors. So pretty. But look, seriously though, candy's been around for a long time. It works. And I would suggest give it a try. That's all. Okay, now I know that we haven't talked about a lot of very exciting things, but I think I do like canning just because it has practical applications. I've seen it and I've experienced it. And like I said, when the wife decides she's going to start canning tomatoes, I get the hell out of her way, head for the garden, pick up as much as I can find. Oh, this little section of tomatoes are ready. Pick them, bring them inside, wash them down, get the hell out of her way. She's a woman on a mission. That's true. And then she says, you know, I'm making, you know, and she tells me she's making fresh tomato juice. It's like, ooh. I'll go get some more tomatoes, honey. And off I go. But still, thought kidding aside, it's well worth it. And for the money, you know, the other thing is this. Look, canned goods will not travel very well. So if you decide to throw a bunch of those, you know, glass jars into your pack as you try to make it out there, one, you're not going to be carrying many. Two, you run the risk of fracturing one can or, you know, one jar or more, in which case now you're really screwed. So canning is good. They've been doing it for a very long time. All right. Anything else? No, we didn't have any calls. That's all right. You know, sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes it doesn't. Saturday night. Now everybody's listening. Night Rebel 556. He's probably fell asleep on me, but that's okay. I appreciate him checking in. Pretty good stuff. Drinking peach iced tea from the sugar-free version at Dollar General for a dollar for this little, like a little box for like five or six packets. Pretty good stuff. Getting away from the soda pop stuff. All right. If you were listening to last Wednesday's show, we were discussing about insulin. And I said to go to the CRN Facebook page, Contrary Radio Network Facebook page. We posted the article from the National Institute of Health about the fact that they are working with what are they going to do with it? Freeze-drying insulin. Well, today I'm watching TV. I was putzing around. I listen a lot. And all of a sudden, something comes on the TV. And I said, what is that? And the reason what perked up my ears, two words. Insulin resistant. What did they say? What was that? So I'm looking. So I'm watching this commercial, and they're talking about being insulin resistant. So if you're diabetic, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's a commercial for this product. It's called Release. And they said, you know, they talk about it, and it's like, this is why some diabetics who are pre-diabetic or overweight and whatnot, da-da-da-da-da. I was thinking, what is this? So I'm watching. So I go to the website, read about it. I said, okay, you know what? They're not forcing me into those auto ship payments. Let me pay by PayPal. All right, get this, get that. Okay. So the product is supposed to make your insulin much more sensitive, the glucose, you know, your insulin more sensitive. So it starts working faster and harder and quicker and whatever the science is. So I thought, you know what? For $40, I'm in. I'm in for $40. I'm going to try it, and I'll let you know if it works. If you want to take a look at it yourself, it's called Logo. I'm sorry. Go Low. GOLO.com. GOLO.com. So I thought, you know, I'm going to try it. We'll see what happens. And I'll let you know if it works or not. If you're for $40, what have I got to lose? $40? Okay. If it doesn't work, all right. But what if it does? So I wanted to share that with you because we were talking about the insulin and freeze drying insulin and how they're trying to, you know, what they're doing. And I'll tell you, you know, if I could find that darn article I wanted to find, I wanted to talk to you about prepping with for people or, you know, with disabilities. That has got to be the most difficult of all prepping jobs, whether it's a physical or a mental handicap. You have got to go so much further in your prepping than those of us with people that don't. And I can't find that article because I wanted to talk about it because I think it's important. But alas, I cannot find it. All right. Well, this is going to be one of our shorter shows because I'm out of information for you. No one's called in. That's okay. Yeah, that's about it. So with that said, I want to thank Night Rebel 556 for sticking with me here. You didn't abandon the show after 2 minutes. Cheers to you, sir. Have a good evening. Thank you for sticking by me. That's all right. Sometimes this happens. It's all right. And sometimes it doesn't. It's hard. You know, I thought I had a show going one way, then it turned out, no, it's not going to go that way. I got to cover real quick. As a matter of fact, I just finished prepping for the show about 18 seconds before I went on the air. That's how it went. But anyways, I wanted to touch base with you. Say thank you for listening to Contra Radio Network. Spread the word. Spread the word. The more people we have, the better it becomes. Because that means that so many people prepping, that means they're not knocking on your door or mine looking for preps, food, and water when it's all gone to hell. And don't forget, tomorrow, for you believers like myself, get to church. Thank God that he let us live in a country where we can have and buy the extra food we need to prep. Yeah, there are some people that don't have this, the ability that we have here. Many do, but most do not. Case in point, if you're living in Colombia, Colombia? No, Venezuela, where their experiment in socialism has come to a crashing halt. People are, they don't have anything. And don't forget to set your clocks. Thank you, Night Rebel 556. Spring forward 1 hour. So before you go to bed tonight, set your clocks ahead 1 hour and don't get up until the sun comes up. All right? So, we go to daylight savings time. Most of the country does. Places like, I believe, Arizona do not observe said time change. You know what? I remember this. I'm going to share it. Before I go, I want to share this with you. I remember when we, as a very young child, 4, 5, 6 years old. Yeah, you know what? It was about five. I was really about 5 or 6 years old. Mom, I remember watching TV with my mom. And she was watching the show Doctor in the House. And I think that was like a PBS thing. Anyway, so she's watching the show Doctor in the House. Phone rings. And she goes to answer it. I'm still watching this show, which I have no idea. Don't understand it. You know, whatever. And I hear her talk. And I overhear her talking to one of her friends. And I remember my mom saying, you know, what are they thinking in Indianapolis? They put us on double daylight savings time. The sun wasn't going down till 10 o'clock at night. And mothers across Indiana were throwing a fit, saying, what? We can't get our kids down to bed. It's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and the sun's still up. Oh, my. I remember seeing that. I asked her about it. Do you remember that? She goes, no. I looked at her. I said, yeah, I think you remember it. But yeah, so at one point in time, there was double daylight savings time, and why, I don't know. I sometimes wonder if it really saves as much oil as they say it does. I don't know if it does or doesn't. I'm sure, yes, the government will say, well, of course it does. We wouldn't do it otherwise. Hey, I don't know. I don't know the answer to these questions. I don't know the answer to a lot of questions, but I will weigh in and show my ignorance on in 2 cents when I can. All right. Now, my good friends, I want to say thank you for listening tonight. It'll be a short one. It doesn't have to, you know, not every show we do has to be 2 hours. It just doesn't. So I want to say thank you again for listening. And you know what? We'll meet again on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll probably have the sun up by then when we start, too, if, you know. But regardless, there'll be another roundtable report where the madness gets going. Like I said, hey, don't forget, you know, you ask Night, you know, Night Rebel 556 will vouch for me on this, too. And that is this. Most of the shows start, especially the roundtable report, usually start off pretty slow. And then as it gains momentum, as more people call in and they're on the roundtable, I think we had about 5 or 6 last Wednesday night. You know, just people calling in all across the country. At the same time, everybody's talking over each other. It gets pretty wild, and it gets a lot of fun, you know. So check it out sometime. At least listen to it for at least the first 2 minutes of the show. And if you don't like it or the show's not for you, that's cool. It's all right. You can abandon it. You won't hurt my feelings. But at least stick around for at least 2 minutes. That's all I'm asking. Give me 2 minutes, all right? Give me 2 minutes and give me $2 to, yes, it is growing. You're right, Night Rebel 556. And give me at least $1 or $2, you know, support the show. It'd be great. Patreon.com, there's a link to it here on the show thing. So, okay, that's about it. I want to say thank you again for my prepper and patriot friends and pay attention, my patriot and prepper friends. Before I forget, and I told you this was going to happen, and it's happened. And in all seriousness, I told you this was going to happen, and it happened. I said it on the show. I put it out there. It's happened. There is an internal investigation now into the shooting of Fincicum over in Oregon, whether that was a legitimate shoot or not. And I came out and I said, the lack of dash cam video tells me there's a lot, that's the number one thing that just came, that stuck out in my mind as a law enforcement officer. So now five of the FBI agents who are on the scene are all under internal investigation now, whether that was a righteous shoot or not. And it ain't looking good for them, unfortunately. But when you deprive somebody of their rights, this can happen. And they tell you, they teach you about it at the academies. They tell you about it. And it's up to you, as a responsible law enforcement officer, to ensure that everybody's rights are respected. Even though they may not respect yours, you still have to make sure that theirs are respected. Unless, of course, if you're in Chicago and your name's Donald Trump, well, then your right to free speech will be infringed upon. How dare you try to speak? Dare you, sir? If you know me, you know what I think about it. Regardless, that's not what this show's about. This show's about prepping and patriots. And what I'm going to talk to you about is already on here for the Saturday night. Thank you. Have a good night. I appreciate it. For my prepper and patriot friends, remember, be safe. Be alert. And be vigilant. I'm John Jeffers for the Contra Radio Network. We'll see you Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Good night. Good night, 556.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.